This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Taya Braun, Legal Director of the Human Dignity Trust on Worldwide Wave.
Dore lo layo, yo pari dara, sacha tiro. Lagyo piro bota sama failo ago sarara
Wildfire by Dipol Chatri. Now, I do apologise for my
Nepalese pronunciation tonight, aren't we?
Pronunciation, yes, but I'm sure I'll be picked up by our guest, no doubt.
Indeed, and we are in Nepal tonight. We've got a great guest in the studio, and if you've got some messages or some questions or some thoughts, you can message us on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. And the guest that I mentioned is Babaram, who you are from Nepal, but now living here in Melbourne. Tell us about how you came to end up in Australia, Babaram.
2007, I came to Australia, but as a student visa. But you're meeting outside the Jeffrey. I met him in 1999, and in Mumbai. because due to my sexuality, I always away from my parent or my relative or my brothers because I never stay in the home. And then since we became friends, and then he visited in Nepal and then India, and he counseling to me many time, and I did like a sort of depression or something going through as well. And then he sponsored me actually, and I got the Australia, and I'm actually safe, and got the job in up here, and I got the permanent residence and citizenship. And then since the freedom country and the gay life and same sexual people is no judgment in Australia and nothing, that even the things, and the now we got the marriage right as well. Mm-hmm. And that good things too, that's why I came all the way to the Nepal to Australia.
Take us back to in Nepal when you were growing up as a child and feeling a bit different to everybody else. What was that like? Did you know that there were gay people out there?
Till 1998, I didn't notice about my sexuality, but I never fall in love with the girlfriend, or I don't have any girlfriend or something. But I'm always close to the elderly ladies, or like a sister or mom, and I close to them. And even in my, I'm always close to my mom, and I go to the work with her in kitchen. Then sometimes she used to say to, "Oh, you are not my son; you become daughter." And I don't think so. She like me, but mom might be understanding about the sexuality. But because it's society or culture, and no one is, the media or anything, she doesn't mention about the same sex things, and then the people is scared. And
in saying you're more like a daughter, is that a? Is that meant to be negative or hurtful? Or
It didn't feel too hurtful because I'm much good in the cleaning the house, folding the clothes and the things, washing and cooking. That's then the moms, all the friends as well, is they visit to home, and oh, we want to have the snacks or tea or whatever from the babu. And even they mentioned to the like a girl's name, like you are the little daughter, and come like that things is that feel like a good feeling. But I didn't notice actually what that mean to. When I realized is it in 1998 in Mumbai, I found the magazine, and the mention in the magazine is a doctor and the column. I'm the this, and in university, an Indian student in doctor, and he said to that, "I have this symptom in my class, is a lot of pretty girls and pretty boy, and I'm not attracted to them, and the girls is proposing me, and I am not."
So that sort of started you asking questions about yourself.
And then after that, there is a column is mentioned, you are not any disease or anything in Mumbai called the Hum Support Trust, and the LGBTI support group. And there is that time is they produced the magazine like a Bombay Dost and Tricon from Singapore or Southeast, and that magazine. And then after I searched the area, and I bought the magazine, and I bring it, and I lock up my room, and I read it.
Was that like Christmas, a new world opening up for you? Is that what
no,
it felt
that's
like?
That time is I feel cry, why I'm different, and why I have to be like the man, why, what is the reason that the things in the going through or some depression things as well. And I always talking about even different gods, like I knocked the church and temple and mosque everywhere I've been to there as well. But and by the time I got the Hum Support Trust, and there is a newspaper, and in 2001 or 2, the HIV AIDS conference happening in Melbourne as well.
Yes.
And that time is we talk to the Jeff, and I start to learn the email, and from 99, then I meet the, some of the research myself about in the in Australia and in the UK and Canada and USA, all over the world.
Doing research about which countries are better to live in, or?
No, I didn't miss it in the because the things is I'm pretty much is independent since child, and I'm pretty much close to the my mom dad, but especially I'm very close with the mom. And
does your mom know?
She knows, but she passed away in 2016, and she never forced me to marry. A couple of times she said, "Oh, you're gonna marry," but and she, later on I said to her, "I don't want to marry. And if you don't want to marry, I'm not gonna force you." She commitment. And when I meet to the Sanjeev, and then we visited to her frequently, once twice a year. And in 2015, when earthquake happened, Jeff as well there to meet the Sanjeev and my mom, and. Then we travel, and whenever Sanjeev came, and Sanjeev sitting beside of the mom, and we sit in between in the one in middle of the mom, and one side Sanjeev, one side me. And in 2015 December, she become little sick, and I say to Sanjeev, I have to come to see you as well, and see to mom as well. Then we just make a new year in 2016, and. And I visited to Sanjeev and mom, and she put the actually like a tikka, and like a, she gave a bless, stay healthy.
She blessed happy. Sanjeev or blessed you or both?
Both of us. Both of us.
So her way of accepting you as a,
yeah,
as a couple?
Yeah, and after 25 days she passed away. Yeah, that's why the, and then after the, I visited again, then come back to Australia, and we lost his visa to in the, in May 2016, and then after that I visited to the couple of time to the India and Malaysia and Singapore with him.
Nepal as a country has actually made a lot of very progressive changes in laws for LGBTI people. Is that something that you and Sanjeev notice in the streets, or is it just something that's happened on paper? And it
mostly in the paper, and in the LGBTI community center, like in the only the Blue Diamond Society, and the things is previously in the 2002 in they started to the establish the like. The protective sex, like you know, the not use the condom and things and the
educating people.
Educating people, going to the bus park, and then after going to the street and the things, and a bit of being a violence as well, because the in Nepal one thing is a lot of you know jobless and unemployed. And community not able to, and government not able to support the LGBTI people like a transgender or in
so like
or
lower any, priority.
And then some of them start to you know the sex work, and then police is harassing them, not like actually law, but the Sunil Babu Pant call in the blue, run the Blue Diamond Society. His boyfriend is a UK British ambassador. And they established the things, and later on, his party, his Maoist at the moment, is as well. And the, they elected for the government, and he gone to parliament. He bring the some legislation, but legislation inside the book, but not implicated to the outside the public. And they give the public to the like a third gender. They can access the passport or citizenship card.
So we might explore that one a bit more. Yeah. Our guest tonight is Babu Ram. We're talking all things Nepal. This is Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Andre Duplessis from the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association, speaking from Geneva on the Worldwide Wave.
Oh, yeah. This one's a love song. And I feel like a teenager all over again for you, girl. Come on.
Introducing Sasid, Praveen, Darshana, DJ Sakun Productions, and it's me, the G.
Do I boss to ma at the herbal kina? I din so miru nayan bari kina. Maya ho ki ke ho buza maili sakina. Kina sak dina tiyad haru birsana.
Sangalio, you man the ma, copy the yo nam timli, the common chati ma, tahati yo timi here, the tio mero, akam of the baby, you are fabulous. The gunya choli ma, ubeko tia, timra samulagi, taka topi, everybody jealous hater, we make a professory side, maya ko, artha, sikayo timli, baby, you can always be my Juliet, and always be a Romeo, someday the boss of timla, here the timri photo, timla sano pira hunda, mutu kina roko, I'm not a player, baby, tamero maya choko, timi sanga ziwun pite pram, tiag nesa toko, a zombo pony timla, diksu manle, ute gita. But so much kinda as a made man. I'm a one girl man, baby, never play a game. I'm a down on my knees, let me be your last man. Suvas gar tu ma aja bata timlai dinchu ma sath ekachin ko duri pani kina lagcha awaz sadaune chu jiwan khushi ali pae timro sath bewa harik jiwan bitaune chu here timrai muhar lati pare aja hera chanchale suvab buji dune biye mero maya choko ho harik mod ma timre sath chaine vo thaha chaine feri mero maya bujhne ho dara lagcha feri sath tupo chutne ho udasi ma khushi ali timile ne chai dio naya kira sari jiwan sajai dio harik chhan timro yaad le satayo ni हरेक नयाँ छिटी सरी जीवन रङ्गायो नि फुलको पास्ता सरी तिम्रो त्यो मिठो बोली खुसी हुन थाले म त खैकिन हो आज भोलि
डोलाई बसु म आज हर पल्किन
आइदिन्छु मेरो नयन भरिकिन
माया हो कि के हो बुझ्न मैले सकिन
किन सक्दिन ती यादहरू बिर्सन
चाहन्छु म तिम्रो down kasari meru yo mana bauni gar tu ma timro avashkina sati dine bachamo gar tu harchena
Some more Nepalese music, this time Tolly Bashar with by Shashit.
Well done. You can message us in 0427 joy949 and on air at joy.org.au for any questions or comments or thoughts or experiences. We love to hear it all.
But tonight we are talking to Babaram and importantly your relationship with Sanjeev, and we would love to hear how did you meet?
Yeah, I met him too in 2014 when the HIV conference happened in Melbourne. And
you met here in Australia?
No, in the delegate coming from Nepal, and he as well is isolated himself, and he met one of my transgender friend. Then we used to ring him. I used to ring him, and he hand over to him, and then after the we chatting in the phone, and after 1 or 2 months, and we share in June 2014, and we share everything like Facebook, mobile, and then Viber and the Skype. Then since then we talking like once I finish my work and go home, and then hour, maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours.
Talking every night.
What's the connection? Yeah. What do you most love or most miss about not having him around?
That is hard to express it because I feel it in the same sex. It's not easy to get the love or right choice of person, because if you propose someone is a fear with the society or sexuality, or somebody doesn't like it or something, and it's not easy to fall in love. But he like me and I like him, and we start to chat and we like each other, and it is not able to what the things is to explain or something. So
you're maintaining that relationship now over thousands of kilometers. How do you do that? That's very difficult.
Yeah, it is very hard. Because he's very good student. He got a scholarship in the genetic engineering in Bangladesh, but his family have to pay to his university hostel and lodging and fooding, he had a big family member, like a lot of sister, five or six sisters, and then when his father start to marry them, and they have to give a dowry system, and then after they're not able to support, and he depressed, and he back, and he feeling himself as well as a different, and he tried to suicide himself, and he gone to escape with the one sister. Then since I meet him, and I told him to stay far from them and stay by yourself, and he living under my care. I said the phone from here and parent and fooding, and he doing some short course in all the computer training, and he's good in the designing and art and things.
One of the other complexities in his life, and I guess the reason I bring this up, because it's one of the great obstacles in your immigration process, is that he's HIV positive. How much service, how much support is there for somebody in Nepal if they're HIV positive?
No one for him.
Nothing?
No one for him. Because In 2015, then I have to research the person is a American doctor who gone to the Nepal for 3 years for the positive living people helping up there, and in the 2015 in the old AIDS, the HIV AIDS day, I read the article. Then after I ring to the hospital, he's working in part-time in one big hospital. Then after they pass through the phone, and I contact to him. And from here, Jeff is a counseling, and myself only counseling. No one is there.
So he's getting his support from you here in Australia?
Yeah, he's getting the only support from me and Jeff. Those doctor is an American doctor. He's a very good doctor, and he's a counseling as well. And he start to test it and everything. But 2016, he went back to the USA.
So what about access to drugs, antiretroviral therapy? Is Sanjeev able to access that?
In Nepal, CD4 count is under 500, but 2016 they mandate in 16 by WHO. Any country or anywhere in the world, and they have to, when they know about their status, they should be provide the medicine.
Yeah, because that treating as early as possible makes a really big difference.
And
so he's got that access.
He didn't get it, but we have to force to the doctor, to the US doctor, to provide. But there is a lot of blackmailing. If you had money, they will give you straight away. You don't have to queue, and you have to put the mask, and then queue, and very dirty to the area.
So if you haven't got the money, it's is it impossible or it's just very hard?
It's if you doesn't have the money or you get the medicine, but you have to be hassling like he living in the he have to travel like 10 hours to 6 hours to 10 hours driving bumper and bumper road. And then overnight he stay, sometime 2 nights he stay in Kathmandu. It cost him to get the 1 month medicine is almost $200.
Mm. Is he also from a rural area like yourself?
He's also not from the big city, yeah. Like in the, but he's from the southern part of the Nepal towards the border side of India.
Now, yeah. That HIV status then, as I mentioned, causes complexity. So you would like Sanjeev to come here to Australia to join you, to immigrate here. Tell us what that process has been like and the application process. How long has this been going on?
We didn't told to the before, but the process is a de facto relationship is same-sex couple is just, or heterosexual couple can apply the like spouse visa, same category visa we lost in 2016, mm-hmm. In my migration agent is whenever he said to the immigration department doesn't discrimination in the same sex or heterosexual, but Melbourne office of the DIAC might not be discrimination, Sydney might not be discrimination, or Canberra doesn't discrimination or something, maybe UK doesn't discrimination, or Germany doesn't discrimination, but I feel in the New Delhi High Commission, our case officer might be discriminated because. We were heterosexual couple, they get the assessing the process quickly and we didn't get it that time frame because they give a time frame like...
So your application is much slower than...
Slower than the in compared to the other.
Heterosexual couples.
Yeah, that is in my work colleagues and my other friends and I found out it as well because... I have a witness to give to them, yeah.
And so when did you start this process? Was that 2016?
Yeah, 2016, yeah.
Okay, so it's coming up to a couple of years.
Yeah, almost 2 years now.
And yeah. How have you found that process?
It's very hard and in the torture because department doesn't know about the our feeling. And I'm here is like... suffering and he's suffering as well and his parent and relative is asking when your visa was happen and why you didn't marry or when you're going or what you want to do and they're torturing and that's the sort of things and he frustrated and myself as well frustration.
In fact that interest in I guess the love side of the relationship is very low. A lot of it comes down to dollars and cents, so the government does an assessment of the medical impact, the cost impact of bringing Sanjeev to Australia, which is a huge figure.
Yeah,
huge. It's frightening.
That is a hypothetical figure.
Am I allowed to say the figure?
Yeah,
$720,000.
Yeah, and that is a hypothetical person. And then if you like, we have a Medicare. Join Medicare as well, private health insurance. And plus in Melbourne Sexual Health Centre or the clinical trial or in any ART is cheaper. You can buy from India or you can buy export from the Europe.
So they've got kind of like a formula, but
yeah,
it
yeah,
may
and,
not be
yeah, and
that realistic.
And that is the costing, like someone is a total disability and dependent on the Centrelink and dependent on the all the time is a hospital care. That is a, because now is a 2017-18 is a positive living is a, if you maintain and have a medicine can survive normal life.
But like, the application process is indeed a minefield. We've got some more questions for you coming right up. It's Worldwide Wave. Tonight, we're in Nepal.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Some more Nepalese music this time. I do apologise in advance. Galit Maya Shami.
Sounds good to me. I'm quite liking that one, actually. Like that one. Messages 0427 join 949. Sam has messaged in, stay strong. What an amazing individual. Thanks, Sam. We've got Sam's also sent a question now. I'm just going to come back to that because we were talking about the financial side of the immigration process you're going through and that assessment of the lifetime cost to Australia of bringing Sanjeev here, this theoretical cost. But there's more to that in costs in terms of what you're going through. Tell us about the costs, both financially and emotionally, of going through this process with Sanjeev.
It is very hard. The torturing or like in the very pain in.
It's okay to get emotional. That's okay.
Yeah, and it is because the cost, like they say to 700, more than 700. It is not reality, because when he's a science student, he's young and he's energetic. When he work, he will earn more money for the spend and more. Paying the more tax,
and
I work as well, and I have more than 80 80K and earning, and that means is we both are working, and we have a house, and we pay the GST, and we spend, and then country will be
so you
more,
would be contributing to Australian society.
It will be the more society will be
better
benefited in rather than in the day just putting to the this is a cost, and the we don't know who is this medical officer of Commonwealth. They hire the like a private health insurance company like a Bupa, and they costing like a hypothetical person, like someone is totally sick and hospitalized all the time.
It's not necessarily a real thing.
Yeah, it is not a real thing at all.
And there's other ways of doing this costing. Yeah. Like in New Zealand, they do it differently, where they take into account whether you're sick or healthy, right?
Yeah. It is in compared to New Zealand and Australia. New Zealand is a far better, good system on there. In compared to Australia, is a very brutal and torturing. It is, you know, the we were the MOC or case officer who is department. They don't go through this process. If you someone had the lava, and then you separate too long, how you think? This is a questionable. Even Prime Minister, how long is he separate with his wife?
And anybody, New Zealand's always been a step ahead of us, particularly in LGBT rights, and we take that, I guess, on the chin. Sam has asked, though, do you think that Western gay men take too many things for granted in Australia? Do you think
Western
Australian gay men take things for granted? We don't really know what's happening out there in the world as much.
Some of the things is we might not know as well, and because the even in the married equality camp for me is equality is not still here, because I want to marry the Sanjeev straight away, but my equality is I vote the yes, but my whole the housemate and my workmate, they voted yes as well. We win it, I campaign as well, but is my equality is still not here. That's why I went to the Midsummer Festival to this banner with that. Because things, yeah.
So what does the... you mentioned their marriage and your desire to marry Sanjeev here in Australia.
Why not, yeah.
What's your future? What does your future look like in your mind?
Future like is a... We want to survive like normal people, with freedom. We like in the normal society how they survive. We want to survive. Like, why we need to fear and all the time is scared with the society and culture. That's why my future is I'm dreaming to these things in the because I want to join with him and we join together, reunited and married and live till death period is it's normal period of life.
We really hope it's successful, that you do get that you get Sanjeev to come to Australia and to start that life together, and hopefully get married then if that is what you want.
So I have
if he's
to
here.
Be open. I have to be.
We expect to get invites.
Yeah.
We expect to get invites as well.
Of course.
So you'd have a very big wedding.
But you still need to be waiting. I don't know. Like uncertainty, you know.
So where's the process up to? Are you hopeful for the future?
Yeah, I'm very hopeful, positive. I didn't give up.
Excellent. We love we're sharing our hope with you. Baba Ram from Nepal, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story with us tonight.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Hi, my name is Hope Matumbo from the Multicultural Health and Support Service, and you're listening to the Worldwide Wave. That's how people do it.
That is one of our favourite messages from Hope there. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Babaram from Nepal. There are services around to help guide you in this very, very complex process. One of them here in Victoria is the Gay and Lesbian Immigration Task Force. You can find out at their website, glitfvic.org.au.
I would have gone with Glitfvic.
Glitfvic. Rolls off the tongue.
Thank you for all the messages we've had on Facebook this week. Patrick, Hoffler, Dylan, Cody, Lana and a heap more. That's W3 Joy on Facebook.
We'd like to thank our podcaster, Alex, and also the front desk, the wonderful Gordon.
And the messages coming in through Sam and all the messages we get on Facebook. Urban Dreaming is coming up next with Saromi and Maddie. They're exploring everything Indigenous, and it's always a really intriguing and fascinating show.
And then after that, following that, is 9 p.m. Triple Bypass Team, which is improving bi visibility, which we sorely needed.
And followed by Local Roots, Been There, Done That, and right through to midnight. I mean, just stay here on Joy all night, really. Magic Portals at midnight for punk and rock. We've got it all.
And we've got some Nepalese music to go out with. And I'm not going to even try and pronounce the title, but it's by Axtia and Sugar Rani.
We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.